Anyway, yeah, I think we have enough to get started. So you're going to be doing 2:15, right? Or 2:15, sorry. Let's just also make sure we have Craig in the chat, and we do have Craig here. Yep, so go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right, awesome. Yeah, the numbering is a little funny now that we're up to 2:15. But I will drop a link to the SIP in the chat. I'm presenting this instead of Gumboats because he's not here. He's sleeping. So, anyway, actually true, Troy. But I'm a little under the weather, so my voice is in a rough spot, so don't mind that. But anyway, this SIP is to add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 markets to synthetics perps. Yet again, how this process works is that if this SIP would be approved, the markets would launch as paused, and there'd be an SCCP to set parameters and to unpause the markets. So these markets include XRP, DOT, PRX, Loki, and IMJ. There's some like 24-hour volume information that's in there as well. And obviously, all of this would require on-chain oracles from PIF and the backup on-chain oracles from Chainlink. And yeah, Gumboats has included some quick rationale for listing each one, if you guys would like to take a look there. And yeah, that's really it. Obviously, the goal of having these SIP presentations and having a SIP presentation for this one is to expand the number of assets that Synthetics Perps has to continue to onboard new traders. And this will, you know, continue to widen the number of users that are able to access Synthetics Perps. One of the assets were actually removed from this list because the thief had flagged it as probably not having enough liquidity and, you know, and volume to really matter all that much, so it was pulled. But this is the final list, and I will just drop it in the chat as well. So yeah, those are the assets. The SIP is there. Let me know if you guys have any questions. Happy to answer any. But yet again, the SIP process would just approve the markets to be launched as paused, and then an SCCP would be used to actually set parameters, you know, open interest limits, fees, and so on.
Have we considered where in the process we should be examining asset volatility to decide if the asset's even worth? You know, looking at these, if we had like Floki or Pepe, you know, on Quenta prior weeks, that volatility would have caused the debt pool to take massive, massive losses because nearly everybody would have been on the long side of the skew. Are we looking at that at all in this process?
Could you clarify that? Like, do you mean like, should we update the SIP process? Like to...
Well, so in the SIP, we're approving them, and usually the rationale is based on the liquidity and market cap of the asset. And then in the SCCP side, we're, you know, setting the parameters on what caps do we want to put on it to kind of mitigate some of these risks. But in theory, there's going to be some assets out there where the overall volatility potential of that asset is just beyond what we would want to have on an exchange where the debt pool is forced into taking the other side of a trade, like with the asset's overall maturity. And it doesn't seem like we're necessarily digging deep on that with the way that it's split out right now.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would say that in the SIP process, I suppose that isn't really dug deeply in because this is just to approve the assets themselves without any parameter set. So there's really, it's not like this becomes like a large discussion as to how much risk the debt pool wants to take on, because that side is really taken on in regards to the SCCP and what the open interest limits are set at. Because in theory, you could approve these assets and then you could set them all to like very restrictive open interest limits. And then any sort of risk that the debt pool would take on would be relatively low. But given, I don't really think this idea that there would be like this long skew existing without any sort of arbitrage is something that is fair, I guess you could say. I think the synthetics perp, you know, design has shown that markets will continue to to be guided towards neutral over time.
Yeah, that's because we've never listed a meme coin fast enough that we've been in the explosive period of it when it goes into, you know, a listing on Binance and things like that. I think had we been ahead of the curve last week, we would have found ourselves in a sticky situation. But I think maybe we need to reverse the process when we're listing assets, because the SCCPs are pushed through without a public call and consultation. They're just voted on. Whereas the SIP being the public call and consultation feels like it should be the more weighty part of that process and analysis in what assets are safe for the risk and the debt pool.
I would definitely agree with you that I feel like this is a bit of an antiquated process, because I come here asking for approval for the assets without any sort of, like, you know, not like I'm asking you for certain open interest limits or anything like that. Though I did bring that up to some of the wider contributors at one particular point. And one of the synthetic purpose devs, Leo, had actually said that the reason that this is that this is actually a SIP is because that there are contract level deployments that are done at this level, which is not something that they're able to do through an SCCP, or it's not something that has been done through an SCCP. But, you know, if there's like a procedural change that the Spartan Council would like to explore, I think that would probably be a good idea for somebody's SCCPs and such. But yeah, you know, I don't really think it's something that's on the table as of right now, you know.
Yeah, I'm not against this SIP in general. I just think we need to refine this process so that we have more than a rubber stamping process as we start to add more and more assets to the debt pool, including consulting with the community and with partners, understanding what kind of risk exposure people actually want in the debt pool. Because right now it's just these things getting added and lumped on. And I would be surprised if all the stakers knew the type of risk exposure they have to different assets at this stage.
We could add some more formal framework. I think these are frameworks that DEXs or SEXs, as well as like custodians have publicly available. So we could kind of just use that framework, which cover things like market interest, risks, et cetera, and obviously tailored to our risk profile.
Yeah, I think the other thing about your example of Pepe is that right now we haven't really seen any evidence that if there's like a liquid perps market that it won't be arb down, and we know there are external liquid perps markets for Pepe. But where we've actually seen like the skew stay persistently in one direction would be kind of assets where there's not really an easy way for arbers to step in and make that trade. In this case, they're definitely is a way for people to do that. So I guess that's why I'm not really concerned about Pepe in particular. I think if the funding rate isn't responsive enough to encourage arbitrage, that's really more of an issue with the subsequent SCCP and the setting of the skew scale. But I don't know if I really agree that there's a huge danger that everybody would be long if the funding is sufficiently responsive, then people are going to arb that down. We see that happening within minutes.
Yeah, and that's fair. We do have a pretty good funding rate. It's just something worth keeping an eye on. And I think the sensitivity here is that unlike other perps markets where somebody is definitively making the conscious choice to take the other side of the exposure, right, our other side of the exposure being the debt pool is a much more passive choice where there's a shift in responsibility of examining the assets, like, you know, somebody adding Pepe perps to a centralized exchange, you're only exposed to that opting into that. And so this changes a bit in the V3 environment, but I do think we want to make sure that diligence process is happening somewhere. But agree that the skew should help mitigate that in most cases. I just want to make sure we have thought about it in terms of tail risk.
Yeah, I mean, I think that side of things would really be up to the, you know, the community and the Spartan Council to potentially push to change the SCCP process, right? Because you guys are the ones that are deciding you know, on to vote yes or no on like the STCP that typically comes next in this process. And I guess this is a, you know, a push to make, what's it called? To make this a little bit more open as to that process, or, you know, maybe present to those STCPs and provide some rationale behind them. But I think that'd be on the, you know, the Spartan Council, you know, and the wider community on pushing for that. Cause it is something that is provided to you guys once, you know, once that STCP has come out, and I typically am not the person that handles that side of a new asset listing.
Are you saying the background is provided? Because other than the text, the STCP process is really just, it gets posted and instantly Caleb starts harassing us for signatures. So I think that if we want to say that it's like well thought out there, we may need to.
I'm more so saying that like that part is like up to the Spartan Council to chat with Caleb or others on who is providing these parameters and why they've been provided, right? Yeah, like more so saying that this isn't part of like this SIP itself.
Agreed. Yeah, it's worth discussing.
But yeah, totally. That's something that I would bring up with Caleb.
All right. Any other questions specific to these proposed listings? All right. Does not look like we have the SIP 2014 presenter in the audience or on the stage.
We have Westy up on the stage.
Yeah, I'm here.
There's Westy.
Yeah, he was right below you.
Welcome.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep. All right, Westy, 2014.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, how's it going, everyone? I'm Westy on the Ambassador Council. It's my first SIP, so excited to be here. But, yeah, I think a lot of the conversation that we just had applies to this SIP as well, given that this is adding three different purpose markets, so Pepe, Sui, and Blur specifically. I know we talked about Pepe a bit. But, yeah, it looks very similar to 2015, where we're adding these three markets, but upon approval of this SIP, markets will be paused and there'll be an SCP that's created to unpause it and then configure the variables there. We wanted to, I guess, separate these three because they're sort of the most extremely hot markets that exist at the moment, Pepe in particular. And I think they've sort of gained enough spot liquidity as well as perps locations elsewhere to hedge for them to be good assets to list on synthetics. And as far as I know, Pith has oracles for each of these three assets, but Chainlink has yet to list any of them, so we need to wait for Chainlink to do that. But, yeah, if you have any questions, please fire away.
Since we got Bert on the council of this epoch, I'd love to know from Bert's perspective on the Quenta side, when we look at these assets in terms of their 24-hour volume and liquidity breadth, do we find that there is a minimum floor that we should be looking for these assets to get ARPed quickly? Are you seeing ones that are a certain size not getting ARPed quickly enough when Quenta's end?
Off the top of my head, no. Pretty much anything of sufficient size is going to provide a pretty good ARB opportunity. I mean, we haven't really seen, like, huge amounts of trading in a lot of the smaller assets. And a lot of those are, you know, they're locked down pretty hard in terms of OI. The ones that we've seen that are very, very volatile that get a lot of trading are things like ARB and OP. Those obviously do a lot of volume and they actually stay pretty well 50-50. I think Troy might be listening. He probably knows a little more specifically, because I know he looks at a lot of these SKU charts for the specific assets. He might be able to drop something in the comments. But I think generally what I've seen is that the assets that have kind of significant open interest caps that don't get ARBed are things like TradFi assets, because there isn't really anywhere to go to ARB them that's easy for a lot of crypto users. So that, I think, would be
would be the bigger concern. If we're offering reasonable open interest caps, something that's comparable with the liquidity of a centralized exchange, the big thing I would think we need to look for is, like, do these perps markets exist on a major exchange? And if they do, people are going to ARP them.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions for Westy? All right. Noah, I see you on both SIP 322 and SCCP 304, I guess, whichever one you want to go for first.
Yeah, that order sounds good. SIP 322 is pretty boring. We were working on the spot market further in preparation for the ETH spot market, which we'll chat about in a second, and we realized that it would be really handy to have more view functions on the spot market. These are functions on the smart contract to pull configuration data out of them so that we don't need to rely on things like subgraphs or other sort of off-chain tooling to be able to index the data. So it's fairly straightforward. These basically just are parallel to the setter functions that already exist on the spot market. And then there's another, like, small thing that we noticed just in the course of development that we thought would be good to sneak in here as well, which is in the Oracle manager. If you register a node that's already been registered, it's not emitting an event right now, and we'd like it to emit the event because you can't tell when you go to register it ahead of time, like, if it's been registered already. So it's just cleaner to know that every time you hit that function, that the event will pop out with the ID for the node that's being created. It's a small edge case, but it will just clean up developer experience quite a bit. That pretty much summarizes it. Happy to take questions on this if there's anything else to clarify. Cool. I can move on to SCCP 304 then. All right. This sort of piggybacks on the meta governance discussion before about what the process is for approving markets. In V3, unlike in V2, we're not going to need to be doing contract code changes for deploying new markets. That was a big intention, like, goal with the way it's been designed. So we were having some internal discussions with the core contributors about this as well. I think it does make sense to have a broader governance or community discussion around, what the presentation process is for SCCPs. This is being presented now for discussion, and we can decide if this becomes standard practice going forward for V3. Getting into the content here, the idea here is, as an initial alpha release for the V3 spot market, we would stand up a spot market for a synthetic ETH token. This would be different than the synthetic ETH token deployed by the V2 system. And it would be fairly limited in functionality initially. Again, this is just to get the ball rolling on V3 and be able to see everything in production with real funds in the system. It would look at Chainlink for the price, the on-chain price of ETH. And it would use PIF for asynchronous order settlement. So the asynchronous order strategy is going to be basically a settlement strategy is going to be basically the same system that exists for perps V2, except it'll be used for spot. The proposal here sets the atomic fixed fee to the max value with the intent of effectively turning off atomic swaps initially. We could lower this later, but it's the proposal is set up this way to just reduce the surface area and risk on this initial release. We have the settlement strategy specs in the SCCP. The price deviation tolerance here, 5%, is checking against the Chainlink price on chain. Initially, there won't be a settlement reward for bots to close spot market orders. We're working on a prototype UI for users to be able to just interact with these smart contracts initially. And so in that in that prototype UI, users will be shown their orders and able to settle the order in a second transaction in that UI. And again, this can all be changed in the future. And right, this will also set up an ETH wrapper. The ETH spot market in V3 is the mechanism that we built the wrapper functionality. So yeah, there would be initially a cap on the wrapper of 100 wrapped ETH. And this will also enable the ETH auto rebalancing skew fee. And the skew scale setting is listed in the SCCP. And then the Spartan Council pool, which is the only pool which exists right now, would be backing exclusively this market. So that's the last bullet in the SCCP. And this would all be deployed to Optimism initially and only on Optimism at first. So, yeah, I think that covers it top to bottom. Happy to address any questions.
Any questions for Noah on SCCP 304?
One other thing to note, I guess, is part of the intention with asynchronous orders in Spot now is revisiting conversations with 1inch around Fusion. So I see there's some conversation happening in the chat about one use case for the SNX ETH spot token. We'll be using it as margin in the Perps V3 implementation, which is in progress. But yeah, also with asynchronous orders, we think we can potentially drive up volume with aggregators that have support for asynchronous orders as well. So as soon as this is on Optimism, that's something we could start exploring in production.
All right. If there are no questions for Noah, I guess we can call that here. Right. Great. This was the last presentation. Double check.
I think there's one more or
four. We did four. Yeah, 304.
2013.
2013. Okay. All right. Who's presenting SIP 2013?
I'm presenting, and then we also have Leo here who can answer any technical questions on it. So 2013 is basically kind of just a mitigation of some of the issues we've seen with crazy gas prices and keeper fees on Perps V2. So initially, like, just to kind of give a background on the motivation, because there's some new folks on SC and in the audience. We had initially set keeper fees to $1, like when we were planning this, like in last fall and last winter, because like gas prices were pretty stable. That was the PIF update was about 70 cents. And so we were like, it'll be $1. It'll be fine. We've kind of gradually raised it over time, and it's brought up a lot of questions of like, you know, we're making it prohibitively expensive for smaller orders, which I totally get. But at the same time, the question is like, do we want a decentralized network of keepers, or do we want to rely on keepers that us and Quenta and Polynomial are kind of operating ourselves? So the kind of issue that happens there is like, it's really hard to build the level of redundancy into everything that will kind of, you know, make sure that we can get around, you know, RPC rate limiting and, you know, people unable to get transactions on chain. And we've seen that, like, there's just really no solution that works when we're running these ourselves. Our keeper in the last 60 days has personally, like, eaten, like, a net loss of 50 ETH. That means, like, the ETH going out to confirm the orders versus the amount of SUSD it's taking in from the trader is, like, a huge loss. So, obviously, like, they're very costly, and it also is, like, we can't provide the 100% kind of redundancy. And really, it's kind of a separate discussion because keeper fees were never meant to be set artificially low in a way to subsidize gas costs for users. It's kind of just a way of like having a two transaction pattern be only require one transaction from the user. And it lets you kind of pay the gas fee for confirming your order straight out of your SUSD margin. So you pay some SUSD, it goes to the keeper, they have the ETH, they confirm your order. So it really simplifies and streamlines the UX. It is unfortunate that gas costs are so high and like a lot of users will be priced out to some extent. It's kind of the case everywhere on Optimism until gas costs come down, but it is what it is. So the solution here, like we were exploring one solution of like, what if we just made the keeper fee be dynamic, and like we basically just have like kind of an oracle for the L1 gas cost. Chainlink already has this, and we just kind of have this gas fee be set in real time. But Caleb came up with kind of like an easier way to do it through Gnosis Safe modules, where basically like in real time you could have bots that are updating the keeper fee. The logic is in the SIP. Leo can answer questions on that. But basically you're updating the keeper fee in real time to reflect what the gas costs of the transaction are. There's a minimum, like a floor, because obviously like you want there to be some margin of profit to incentivize keepers. So there's like a target percentage profit margin. There's a minimum absolute amount of margin and there's a maximum absolute amount of margin. And basically, yeah, it's adjusting the keeper fee in real time, so that you always have like a network of keepers who basically are always going to have an incentive to go after it. We think that'll kind of mitigate these issues a lot. When gas costs come down, like people will be able to pay very, very low keeper fees. They won't be stuck paying, like right now, if gas costs went to 50 Gwei or whatever, like people would be paying $4 for a $2 confirmation. With this, it'll be dynamic. It'll allow the keeper fees to go lower. So yeah, that's more or less the spirit of it. Leo, do you want to give kind of like a technical summary of how the implementation works and then field any of the questions in GovCall chat?
Sure. So basically what we have or what we plan to do is a Gnosis module, since the settings that needs to be updated, so that the fee that needs to be updated is managed by Gnosis Safe. So with this Gnosis module, we can allow anybody to call that specific contract that is going to be the enabled for the module. That has one function that is just set the price, and it will get the price from this formula that is on the SIP that Caleb came with. So it will apply that formula, check the prices on chain, and set the price that is a little bit higher to get some profit to the keeper on that on the fee. So basically, it's that. So just a model that allows anybody to call a function that will set the price with the current gas price. So for that, we need to, from technical side, from the PDAO, we need to authorize this module. We can revert the authorization, so disable the module anytime we want if we found that is something broken there. And this module, so this contract will have all these parameters that Afif mentioned. So the top minimum, the top maximum price, and the this delta that is going to be the gain for the keeper as dollars and as a percentage. So we are going to take the most profitable for the keeper. Then, well, for that calculation, we need to add two other values that are based on the cost of the transaction. That is something that the L2 gas oracle provided by Optimism required, that is the length of the transaction, so how much it will basically cost to process that transaction. Let me check if I'm missing something here. So no, it's basically that. Well, it has this contract has also a view function that will tell you what is the price that it's going to set as the fee if we call the set function. So quite simple, technically.
Does this have a fallback if gas price article is stale or reporting erroneous values? Are we doing any kind of check on that? Because it seems that's the main dependency here.
It doesn't right now, so as it is, we can add something there. But as I mentioned, if the price is not reliable, we can always disable this module and set the price manually to whatever it wants. But yes, I
got it. I'm reading through the contract right now in the background. Am I correct in saying the function is a viewable function, and we don't need to be like poking it or updating it? There's no update of the input into this. This is just reading from the OP gas oracle, doing a calculation, and getting a readable value.
Exactly.
Great.
No question for me, just that this is obviously something that, at least for me, it's obviously something we should do.
Gotham asked a good question that I think I know the answer to, but the gas price oracle, is this one that's a pre-compiled by Optimism, or is that being run by Chainlink or Pith or something like that?
No, it's Optimism's one.
Okay, great.
And about what you mentioned about the if the contract is sorry the, if the yeah, if the the oracle is stale. I'm adding a note here to add a post and resume function to this module to be able to do it more quickly, to in case we found something is not working there.
All right. Any more questions on SIP 2013? Okay, if not, I think that's the end of the presentations for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.